Welcome to the Tales of Success podcast, a show about Labradors and achieving training success. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Tales of Success podcast with me, Vicky Sharp. First of all, I'm so sorry it's been a couple of weeks since the last episode. I've got a new puppy in the house and that has been keeping me pretty busy for the last few weeks. So the little pup is called Ellie and she is a gorgeous little fox red lab. And in those 2 weeks, we've had a crazy time settling her in, taking care of toilet training, crate training, and lots of socialization for her. The breeder that I got Ellie from was a first-time breeder, but that didn't put me off at all. Even though it was their first time, I was really, really happy to use them because they were such a great example of what good breeding and aftercare should look like from Labrador breeding. And I've invited that breeder, Anna, to join us today to tell us about her experience with breeding from their pet Labrador. Anna, hello, welcome to you.
Hello.
Right. I'm going to go straight into the important stuff. Whenever I have a guest, I like to make the episode as much about the dogs as possible. So start off by telling us about the wonderful Millie.
So Millie is 2 years old. She's a fox red Labrador. She is very lovable, very cheeky, very quick to learn. And if she doesn't want to do something, she won't do it. It's hard to make her, but she picks everything up so quickly. We've done lots of different types of training with her. So we've done obviously Tales of Success Foundations training and scent training too. And we've also done quite a lot of gun dog work with her as well. And she takes everything in her stride. She's great.
I can vouch for that she is a quick learner. She's probably one of the quickest learners that we've had at any of our training, that's for sure. The bits that I've seen of Millie, she seems to be very happy when she is doing stuff. Where would you say she is at her happiest, whether that's a physical location or a certain activity? Where's she at her happiest?
I think there's two places. One is when she's invited up to sleep on the bed in the morning. Very happy about that. She's not always allowed as well, so it's a big treat. And the second is leaping into water. She absolutely loves water. For the first few months, she didn't like it at all, and we took her on a doggy swimming lesson, which didn't even know they were a thing, but we did. And ever since then, we can't keep her out of it. And you'll if anyone follows us on Instagram, you'll see her diving, that she does into the water as well. It's quite dramatic.
So you said also as well, she loves swimming and she's pretty good at learning as well. So Millie is a fox red lab and she's from working lines, right?
Yes. Yeah. Her dad is a working Labrador. Her mum isn't, but a lot of the lines are working.
Okay. And although you do some gun dog stuff with her and you've done some scent work with her, is she predominantly a brilliant family pet or do you work her in any way?
No, she isn't worked. But, you know, she definitely has the potential to if we wanted to in the future. But she's just a family pet. She's just a great dog. And she loves lounging about on the sofa. And that's what it makes her so great. She just has that great off switch.
Perfect. And what is the best bit about having Millie in your life? That's really difficult to pick one bit, I know.
It is difficult. Can I say everything?
You can say whatever you like, yeah. We've only got like 20 minutes though.
I think the best thing is the welcome home when you come back after a long day, or even in the morning, even after just going to the toilet, to be honest, the welcome back is great. They miss you so much and they always want to be with you, spend time with you and be a great companion on walks and everywhere, really.
So you've got Millie as this amazing family pet and it sounds like she gives the best wet nose kisses and wacky tails and all that stuff, but you recently decided to breed her. Tell us a little bit about why that was and kind of what was your motivation and making that decision?
It's always something I had wanted to do. I've always been obsessed with dogs and we just love Millie's temperament so much, and we wanted to add another dog at some point, and we just thought we would love a Millie puppy. So that's why we bred her initially, is because we wanted that, but also because I wanted to experience it, and also I thought it would be good for her as well to experience motherhood. You know, there's lots of research on why it's good for dogs to have one litter. They obviously don't need to, but it can be quite good for them in a lot of ways, so we just thought we would let her have a litter.
Although you said you wanted her to have a litter and experience it, and you wanted to experience it, What research went into finding out whether she was actually suitable to breed and suitable to sort of carry on her lines? What tests and research did you do there?
First of all, we did all the health tests. So she was hereditary clear on all the DNA, the main things that Labradors can carry. But we had to do an eye test and hip and elbow scoring as well. So that involves getting x-rayed hips and elbows, sending them off to the BVA for them to score. And I think they have to be below a certain number to be appropriate for breeding. But also, it isn't just about health tests. I think it's about the temperament of the dog as well. Millie is a really easygoing, calm. She's not anxious or nervous in any way. Very sociable, and, you know, really quick to learn. So they're the kind of characteristics that we'd want to pass on. And, you know, you'd want out of a puppy. And we, you know, definitely wouldn't have bred her in any way if she had any characteristics where it wouldn't be desirable.
And when you did your research into this, I guess you probably found out quite quickly that there are a lot of breeders out there that don't do health tests. So why in your mind was it important to do the health tests?
Yeah, unfortunately, it's really easy to get a dog that's not been fully health tested because it's quite easy to just breed dogs. For me, it was really important that we weren't passing anything on to any puppies. You know, the risk, you know, Labradors specifically have higher propensity, say that word, for hip and elbow dysplasia. And so, you know, you don't want to pass anything on that could mean that her puppies wouldn't have a long and happy life.
And so, you know, Millie's a good temperament. She's a healthy dog, which is the most important thing. But then you've got the other part to think about. You've got to go and find a stud dog to be kind of the father to these dogs. So how did you go about finding that dog? And what did you look for when you were looking at their kind of temperament and characteristics?
So I think I must have looked at online about 30 stud dogs. I was being very picky. First of all, I wanted another fox red because we wanted kind of a fox red colour. Well, it's technically yellow, isn't it? But dark yellow. And we wanted them from working lines as well. I just prefer the style of working line Labradors. Obviously, we love show Labradors as well, but just from us personally. We wanted to make sure they had all the appropriate health tests. That was a given. Obviously, didn't look at any studs that didn't have the health tests. Wanted balance, hips, you know, 0-0 elbows, really good scores. And I didn't necessarily have to be a working dog, but you know, when you get a working dog, it shows that they're quick to learn, and clever and loyal quite a lot of the time. So that's why I kind of went for a working dog. And then for me, I weighed them all up. I made a huge Excel table actually of all the different scores, compared them all, and also the kind of inbreeding and that kind of thing. You obviously don't want anything that's too closely related to Millie. And contacted a few of the owners. And the lady that we did choose, she was absolutely lovely, really friendly and helpful. And although she was about 3.5 hours away, we liked the look of that dog the most and thought that I would meet that one first. So we went to meet him and he was lovely and calm, really friendly, kind of what you want out of a dog, obviously very well trained because he's a working dog, but he was just a really lovely dog. So we thought we'd go for him, but also we'd seen on Instagram some of the puppies that he's produced, and every puppy that he produced I really liked the look of as well, and they were all really clever and really nice. Just face shapes were really nice, and body, they just looked really like nice healthy Labradors. So that was another contributing factor. So yeah, that's how we decided really.
And I think that's really nice that you were prepared to travel to pretty much the other end of the country to go to see the stud and do the mating process rather than just finding a dog that was local to you. So you've really picked the right stud dog. So when was the right time to go and visit this stud dog? Because from memory, I think Millie was in the middle of our scent detection program at the time, and you did a late night dash down to the other end of the country, didn't you?
Well, yeah. So we wanted to make sure that we went on the exact day to get the kind of make sure that Millie wasn't uncomfortable and we'd got the most out of the breeding. You don't want to go on the wrong day because obviously then it's more likely to be unsuccessful. So we did progesterone tests. So they take the vet, they take a bit of blood and they test it for the progesterone levels, and when they're in a certain range, that's when they're most fertile or they've just ovulated. So we went, I think, can't remember off the top of my head, I think it was day 12 we ended up going, but on the Friday before we went on the Monday, she tested and she was really low. So we thought, oh, we've got quite a while. I rang the stud owner and she said, oh, you probably got another week or so. And then we thought, well, we'll just go back on Monday to the vets, do another blood test and see. And we went back and then they called me and it shot right up. So I was working, I probably shouldn't say this, and I was like, I wonder if I can skive off a few hours early to drive down. So we got in the car, drove 3.5 hours down, did the mating, and then we ended up staying the night and drove back in the morning. We ended up only doing one mating. They often recommend two, like 48 hours apart, but we kind of decided with the stud owner, because she was in the later, she'd shot up quite quickly and she was the later, the bit of the window, we thought we'll just do one and see how it goes, because we don't want to put her through anything unnecessarily, because if, you know, later in the stage and she is resistant, you know, we don't want to put her through that. So yeah, we ended up just doing one and obviously it was successful, so we went at exactly the right time.
Perfect. And you please don't go into the fine detail with this next question, but the mating process, was it kind of a natural thing, and how was that for you as an owner, and how was it for Millie?
Yes, it was natural. You can do artificial insemination, but they recommend, the kennel club recommends for the first mating that you do natural. And I just thought, we'd try that first. It wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. I won't go into the graphic detail, but you do let the dogs get to know each other a little bit. And it didn't actually last as long as I thought it would. And it really helps when you've got a stud owner who's very experienced. You know, she did everything really. I kind of stood there like, thank you. So yeah, she was lovely. And that's really important to have that, I think. She was gentle and patient with Millie, and that's you want them to be good with both dogs.
Yeah, definitely. And so how long was it after the mating that you found out that Millie had caught and that she was pregnant, and what was that wait like? Because did you have any clues that she might be pregnant at that point?
The longest wait of my life. I think I was checking everything, every part of her for any symptoms. So she became more clingy, quite tired. She didn't have morning sickness, but I mean, I wouldn't expect it from her because she's pretty greedy. She was voluntarily healing all along the walks, and I thought that's strange. But a big thing as well, she started being a little bit snappy towards dogs, which is not normally. So it was definitely the hormones changing. And by, I think it was day 28, we did a scan. At that point, I knew, because her belly was a bit harder. She'd put on weight. Her nipples were enlarged. It could have been a phantom. And they often say that, you know, it definitely, that is an option. You know, phantoms can be really realistic sometimes. But I just felt like, I know Millie very well, obviously. and I just knew. So yeah, we were happy when we got the ultrasound.
And as the weeks went on and she was becoming kind of clearly pregnant with pups, how was she? Did she kind of carry on as normal right up to almost Labor Day, or was she slowing down? Did you have to do anything different in those weeks leading up to when she kind of went into labor?
The first 4 weeks, nothing really changed. She was still her normal self. We still did the same amount of walks and everything. And then as we got the kind of confirmed that she was pregnant, we started just taking her a bit easy. We didn't like send her to the dog walker at all. We just took her all the walks ourselves, and just so we knew what was happening. We didn't want to put her in any stressful situations. That's the main thing as well. You don't want them to be stressed, because I think up until later on in the pregnancy, the pups can be reabsorbed. So we just want to take care of her as best as possible. You start upping her food at a certain time as well. Not too much, to be fair, but we did it up for food. Just looked after her. I think in the last week, she wasn't that keen at going out. We just did a few lead walks. We didn't really, all really sniffy, slow walks. She wasn't hugely bothered. She was more bothered about lounging around on the sofa. In fact, I think she kept sighing. I think she was feeling a bit fed up at her size by the end of it.
In kind of that lead up, had you had a scan to see how many pups she was carrying?
So we took her to our normal vets and they said at least 5, and they don't have like the most up-to-date ultrasound equipment. So me being me, booked another scam because I wanted to know exactly how many. And she found 7 really easily. And she messaged saying she looked at the scams again and she thinks probably 8. So yeah, we were going with about 8.
So once you find out you've got Millie and potentially 8 puppies on the way, what preparations had you done prior to Millie going into labour? So I saw the setup that you'd got in your house with all the stuff. So just talk us through what your house was set up like in anticipation of these pups arriving.
So we wanted to clear a big space for Millie. First of all, we were trying to decide where to put the welcome box, because often people put them in another room away, but kind of our downstairs area is all open plan. So we didn't want to put her upstairs away from everything, because we wanted the pups to be socialized with sounds and, you know, noises, people in the kitchen and living area. So we decided we'd move the dining room table back and have like a big space for her. So quite a few weeks before she was even due to give birth, we put the welcome box in. We've ordered everything you could possibly think of. A lot of it didn't get used. A lot of medical equipment just in case. Really useful tool was a little aspirator thing, actually. But a lot of stuff for the actual birth, a lot of towels, a lot of vet bed. And then we kind of got more stuff as we went on, as the pups got bigger, you know, toys and bowls and that kind of thing.
Enough for every eventuality, just in case, really. But then tell us about Labour Day. So how did you know Millie had gone into labour? Were the signs really obvious? And what was the process from you noticing that she'd gone into labour to you delivering the last pup? Because you did it all yourself, didn't you?
Yes, we did. I would say Johnny did more than me, actually, but don't tell him that. It was about, so the second scan that we had, they said that she was due on the 20th of May, like, because she measured the size of the puppies. And got to the 19th of May, I'd gone off to play netball. Johnny messaged me saying, Millie's panting and pacing. And I was thinking, oh no, it's coming. So I came back and she was panting and pacing. And then she was kind of settling for periods, but we were a bit, you know, being first time breeders, we were like, oh, is this normal? So we had Johnny's sister, who is our vet, very luckily on hand, we on the phone, that was. And so we'd update her and then, you know, just in case. and that kind of went on all throughout the night. We kind of took it in turns to sleep. I think I got more sleep than Johnny because I was actually working the next day. But she kind of just went through periods of panting and pacing and then fell asleep for a little bit and then kind of did the same again. I felt really sorry for her at that point, actually, because she was obviously feeling uncomfortable. And then she did all that throughout the morning as well. And it got to about 10 a.m. and her waters broke. And I thought, right, we're coming now. They're coming. After not much sleep, you think, please just come now. and then the first one arrived about 25 minutes after the waters broke. We'd called the vets actually about 9 o'clock in the morning saying, you know, how long can this go on for, this first stage of labour? And I think it can go on to like 24 hours. They can like pace and pant for quite a while. And they said, as long as they're not pushing and contracting, that's when you need, you know, if they contract for a long period of time, that's when you need to kind of go into the vets. And she hadn't been pushing or contracting at all. But after her waters broke, she was contracting. And at that point, we knew that it was visibly obvious she was contracting, because we kind of weren't sure what we were looking for to start with. So yeah, she was contracting, and then the first pup came out, I think about 10:30. And it was a little girl first, who's now called Roxy, and she wasn't in a sack. And we thought, oh, I thought they usually come in a sack. But we helped her with that one. We wanted Millie to do everything, but with the first one, she was a bit shocked by it. We put it next to her, and I think she kind of looked at me like, what is that?
She's like, what's this new toy you've bought me?
and then we just kind of put them on the teats to, I think, is it colostrum or something, to kind of get the milk flowing, and just made sure they were clean. We rubbed them all, make sure they were warm, breathing, aspirate, get any fluid off their lungs. And then they kind of came every 45 minutes. I think one only came 5 minutes apart. And then we got to number 7 and she came out in a greeny sack. And I was a bit worried because I thought green was kind of like distress. But there's a lot of things to say, different kind of things. And she was absolutely fine anyway. But she did, her umbilical cord was kind of wrapped a little bit around her. So I think maybe it was her time to come out, definitely. We just kept a close eye on her and she was fine. but we let Millie do quite a lot of it. We didn't let her bite too close to the umbilical, didn't let her bite the cord too close to the puppies, because you can get where they bite too close and you don't want anything to happen. After 7 was done, I felt her tummy and I could feel another one. So we waited, I think it was about an hour and a half, and then number 8 came out. And then Millie went off to the toilet. She said she went for a sleep, and I thought, oh, she must be done. Let's clear up. so we cleared up all the towels, we had scissors, we had like all the iodine, you know, various bits. We had everything, to be fair. We literally could have opened a shop. And then Johnny had gone off for a shower, and I went round to check on Millie and looked at her back end, and I was like, oh my gosh, it's another puppy. And it was 2.5 hours later. And they often say if it's more than like, you know, 2 hours, go to the vets. Obviously it's hard because you don't know how many you're expecting. But I was so shocked that I just stood up staring for about a few seconds, and I was like, oh gosh, right, I need to do something. I had to quickly find all the things, the aspirator and stuff. And that was Nancy. And I think that was probably the reason we kept her, because she was the surprise one. So that was the shock. But it was an amazing experience to kind of watch how the mum just takes over and just knows what to do.
So that's really strange, because obviously you didn't teach Millie to do any of that. That was just natural instinct very much kicking in. I mean, did all of her pups survive that birthing process?
Yes. Yeah, they all came out. I think they were all pretty much breathing. If there wasn't any, that we rubbed them so quickly that I wouldn't have known if there wasn't. And we took all the fluid off their lungs with the aspirator. They were just all happy and healthy straight away, really. We were really lucky.
Hey, amazing. So 9 healthy, happy little pups and a mum that did really well. What was her recovery like for Millie afterwards?
She didn't really want to leave the whelping box for a few days, and she was passing placentas for a few days, which isn't particularly nice for her. We had to shower her a few times. She didn't want to leave the box, so we had to feed her in her box. In fact, she was being an absolute princess. I had to hand feed her, which is not like her. We had to encourage her to go out for her wee as well. We now know she can hold her wee for a long, long time. I think that's really common though, that, you know, they just had these puppies and they don't want to leave them. When she first had, after a few hours, she kind of got out the box and she just stood staring at them for a good 20 minutes. And I was like, what are you doing? Are you counting them? Are you just looking at them? I think she was just taking it all in. And then she got back in the box and didn't really leave them for a few days.
So it sounds like actually she was a good natural mother to them. Did you have to get involved as kind of the human caregiver at any point and kind of encourage her to do things? Or, you know, what did you have to do for those first few weeks to help her?
So the first few weeks is actually the easiest time, but the most stressful, I found, because if so, we're at the first 2 weeks, the most important in terms of that pup surviving. And it's just stressful making sure that none of them are getting squished. Is one of my main things. And they're all putting on weight and all healthy. So we'd weigh them daily. We didn't handle them loads, because I don't think you're meant to handle them too much at that point. You kind of let the mum do their thing. I did put the one that was a little bit smaller. I put her on the teat a little bit more just to make sure she was growing and increasing in weight. We'd weigh them every night. They all put on weight every day. They're all doing really well. We didn't get involved. We just kind of cleaned the area once a day. And just made sure they were all doing well. We did, I don't know whether you need to do this or not, but we slept downstairs for 2 weeks, we took it in turns. And we were probably being slightly overprotective, but every squeal, I was like, is everyone okay? we did have the pig rails and everything to make sure that no one's getting squished. And Millie was actually really careful, but when there's 9 of them, she was like constantly trying to find her feet, trying to get a place to sit down where, because as soon as they smell her, although they can't see or hear, gosh, they're quite good at squirming over to get to the milk.
Like going to an all-you-can-eat buffet for them, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
So once you've gone through the mating, we've gone through the labour, and you've now got 9 healthy, happy puppies that you've fretted about for essentially a couple of weeks to start with and made sure they're continuing to be healthy. Obviously, you had no intention of keeping 9 puppies, so you needed to find new homes for them. So tell us a little bit about that process of finding not just a home for them, but the right home. What did you do to make sure they were going to good homes?
First of all, you know, kind of advertising in the right places. So we used Champ Dogs because people come on there to just find fully health tested, kennel club registered Labradors. not large Labradors, any dog, but, you know, particularly obviously familiar Labradors. We actually advertised just before they were born for people who wanted to be on a wait list. We obviously didn't know how many of which gender we were going to have. We had a few people that we knew of interested anyway, just because they knew Millie. But we just wanted to make sure they were going to the right home. So we asked people we didn't know to fill out a questionnaire, or we met them for a walk in person, just so they could meet Millie. And also, it's not like it's about us finding the right homes, but also them thinking that Millie's, one of Millie Pups is the right dog for them as well. We had a few people come meet Millie. I don't know how you couldn't love Millie if you come meet her, but obviously I'm going to say that. I think the biggest thing for me was finding the owners and the homes is quite stressful, because me personally, I feel like a huge responsibility to these puppies, because, you know, I brought them into the world. So it's my responsibility to find them good homes and make sure that they're happy and healthy. I still worry about them now and they're all in their homes. So, yeah.
And how long were they with you for? So 8 weeks is usually the time that they leave the breeder's house. So you were responsible for these puppies for 8 weeks, right?
I think four went on the 8 week mark, and then we had another kind of 9 days where they were all kind of spaced out, going every few days. So it's quite nice actually to get to spend some time with less of them. When a few on the Friday night after four of them had gone, I was having like five of them running around the kitchen, and I was thinking, oh my gosh, life would have been so much easier with just five. Nine is quite a lot to watch when, you know, you're watching one of them and another one's going off to wee in the corner of the kitchen.
Yeah, and on that point of having to watch more puppies, you know, how much work is it to actually have these puppies? Because if you've got nine puppies in your house, I mean, anyone that's listened to this that has got one puppy knows how difficult that is. But nine puppies, that is like a 24/7 responsibility that you've got to those little dogs.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. You've got to really have the time to do it. And we always made sure with each of those rotors that one of us were in. We didn't really leave them on their own at all. Well, a little bit. We left them not in the room. We were in the house, but we just didn't really leave the house that much. You have to be kind of give up your social life for 8 weeks. You have to be prepared to, you know, introduce them to lots of things and make them be well-rounded pups, you know, different people, children, noises, all sorts. And, you know, we even had a few other dogs, fully vaccinated dogs, come in as well. It's the responsibility to make sure that they're well-rounded, really, and they're not, you know, going to go to their new homes and be scared of everything that moves. So we did a lot of different things. We did a bit of crate training with them as well. It's a lot of work and a lot of sleepless nights. And if you like your sleep, don't breed. And it's just making sure that they're all happy and healthy. And also one of the biggest things was making sure Millie was okay as well, because obviously people focus on these puppies, but Millie, we didn't really walk her at all for 8 weeks, and that's her favourite thing, is going out on walks. So it was hard for her, but she was obviously enjoying playing and having with the puppies, having time with them. But yeah, it's just, you're constantly kind of thinking. You can't relax in a way, because you're kind of always thinking about the puppies. It's nice. It's such an amazing experience, especially when you go in the pen and you sit with them and they all come and run and jump on you and bite your hair, bite everything you're wearing. It's so nice. And to see all their little personalities grow is great as well.
And I think you did such a good job with, almost like you said, about getting them well-rounded and socialization, because you had people, you had children, you had dogs, you had loads of toys, you had hoovers, mops, all of these things that are in normal family home environments, which actually some little puppies never get exposed to for those first 8 weeks, because lots of kennel or barn puppies that literally get put in a barn for 8 weeks with their mum just don't get exposed to these things. And I've obviously got one of Millie's pups, and it's made such a difference having a dog that's been exposed to that in the early stages. And that's really important for me as a puppy owner to know that my puppy would get that at the breeder. So big well done for doing that, and thank you, because you've made my life much easier. So you've done all that stuff. Talk to me about collection day, because this is the bit where I would fail miserably, saying goodbye to all the puppies and kind of waving them off. How was collection day? Was it joy, sadness? What were you feeling like?
It was a mixture of emotions, because we'd had COVID all that week, and I think I was exhausted from looking after puppies out now I'm having COVID. But I woke up in the morning, and it was kind of a day that it's been in my mind for so long. I've been waiting for this day in like kind of wanting it to go slow, but also wanting it to go fast because obviously you're exhausted. And, you know, by the time that the pups are kind of 6 weeks, 7 weeks, they're very demanding. And, you know, anyone who's got a 1-8 week old pup, can you imagine 9 of them all wanting your attention? It's a lot of work. But I think I said to myself I wasn't going to cry because I'd already cried a few times. Just thinking about them leaving, I'd cried. And then I picked up the first puppy to go and I just started crying. So I had to pass her to Johnny to give to the owner because I just thought, oh gosh, I feel really upset now. But you feel upset because, you know, they've been your life for 8 weeks and, you know, everything's revolved around them and you just want them to be happy and healthy. And also it's a bit of worry, but also then excitement as well, because, you know, they're going off to good homes. They're going off to have lots of fun and be the center of attention in their new life. Whereas now they're kind of not, because there's 9 of them competing for attention. So, you know, they're going to get all the attention and love that they want. And yeah, they're going to have so many great experiences.
And I guess it was kind of bittersweet for you as well, because you were saying goodbye to all the pups, but actually you kept one, didn't you? So did you always intend to keep one? And how did you decide which one you were keeping?
We wanted to keep one, but we didn't know originally whether we were going to breed Millie once or twice. So we thought if we breed her once, we definitely want to keep one from either litter. That's what we said to ourselves. And then when she'd had 8, we had exactly the right number of people for boys and girls on the wait list. So we thought, right, we won't keep one. And then a few hours later, number 9 came that happened to be a girl and we wanted to keep a girl. So I basically convinced myself it was fate. So that's why we kind of decided to keep one. And also as the process went on, it was amazing, but it was, you know, it's really hard work on Millie, on her body. And, you know, and we just thought maybe once is just enough for Millie. She was an amazing mum, definitely. And she produced some lovely pups. So there isn't any reason why I wouldn't breed her again. It's just for us and for her, we think one litter is probably enough for anyone, especially if you've got 9. Maybe if you'd had a smaller litter, we would have thought differently. But then when it came to choosing, there was kind of 3 pups that I was trying to choose between. And I was kind of, Johnny had a favourite that was in the 3, but I was leaning towards the other 2. And we just, in the end, I just decided to keep her because she was the last one out and we thought she was fate. It's meant to be. You can stay with us because you clearly wanted to be this prize and you wanted to stay. So yeah, that's how we decided really. And also, I mean, I would have actually kept any of them because they were all lovely. They were all really, you know, confident, playful pups. Any of them would have been amazing to keep, but yeah, it was a really hard decision.
And how is Nancy getting on with Millie now? Are they kind of best mates already or is it still a work in progress?
Oh, they're thick as thieves. They're, honestly, if Nancy's up to something, Millie follows her. If Millie sunbathes, Nancy sunbathes. If Millie goes to lie in her bed, Nancy does that. Millie has now decided, after nearly 2 years not being in a crate, she's now decided she wants to go in a crate. In Nancy's crate specifically. So yeah, they do everything together. It's really nice to see their relationship, but we're also conscious that we want to make sure they're having their own time as well, and never competing for attention. So obviously Millie gets her walks separately. Nancy comes along to some of them she stays at home, which is making sure that they've both got their own time. So Millie's allowed to, you know, have time away from Nancy upstairs whenever she wants, just so we don't feel like we're forcing them together. But at the moment they're getting on absolutely great. They're really cute together. I think Nancy loves having her mum there all the time.
Must be really nice and reassuring for her because she's not had to go through all this turmoil of leaving everything she knows. She's kind of stuck there with the people that have looked after her from day one, so she must be feeling pretty good about that. And what about all the other pups? Do you see them? Do you hear from them? Do you keep in touch with them? And do you see that actually you will keep tabs on them for the rest of their life, so to speak?
Yeah, I think it's getting the balance between not being too intruding, because they're obviously not your dogs anymore. I'm not my dogs anymore. But I love to see it updates. Obviously, quite a few of them are on Instagram, so I love seeing their updates. My mum messages me, especially about Ellie, nearly every few days. Oh, look what Ellie's been up to today. Thank you, mum. I can see I've been on Instagram too. So yeah, we love seeing the updates. And also we've got a WhatsApp group with all the owners on where I kind of sent daily pictures really and videos and kind of all the information I sent on that group. And then I thought maybe we wouldn't use it anymore, but everybody wants to keep it open just to share progress pictures. And I met one of the pups, Aldo, at the weekend, and Nancy and Aldo had a good play for an hour. And well, that did them a world of good because they slept all afternoon, both of them.
Did they remember each other, do you think?
I think they did, because especially Nancy was quite confident because she knew the garden we were in, but Aldo at first was a bit like, where are we? And then after like 1 minute, they were running around, biting each other. Puppies play really nastily, actually, but puppy play is something else. You don't want to put your hand in the middle of it. But they were having a great time. Millie was very uninterested. She was sat with her ball, not wanting to play in that. I think she was enjoying the break, actually. So yeah, they had a great time. And I'd like to meet up with the puppies in the future, maybe when they're a little bit older and they can do a good walk. It'd be nice to meet some of them, definitely.
Absolutely. Well, we're certainly going to make the journey to meet Nancy and Millie in the future, that's for sure. So you've been through that process of breeding. Are you planning on doing it again? Would you do it again? Or is that kind of your one shot now and you've done that?
We're not going to do it again with Millie because she's getting spayed on Friday, actually. But there isn't any reason for not, really. It's just kind of timings. We're too a bit busy next year already to have a litter, and I don't really want to wait 2 years to get her spayed. So yeah, we're getting her spayed. I would potentially have one litter with Nancy in the future. If she, again, it depends on her health tests, her temperament, how she kind of comes out, because, you know, if she has any kind of undesirable characteristics or her health tests aren't good enough, we wouldn't even think about breeding her. So that really depends. Obviously, keep the options open. We wouldn't get her spayed until she's a bit older anyway. So we've got that option if we want it. But yeah, I think being a breeder, you have to be a certain type of person. You have to be very tough. You have to be willing to put in the work and be okay with not having much sleep as well.
Yeah, that's the key part of it, lack of sleep for 8 weeks. So one of the things that lots of people ask is, as someone that's buying a puppy, they don't always know what to look for. So they look on internet, they look on different websites, they see loads of puppies for sale. Now you've been a puppy buyer with Millie and you've been a breeder. What advice would you give to someone that is looking to buy a puppy? What questions should they be asking of their breeder, and what should they look for when they go and visit the puppies?
Like a given would be like all the health tests. I would, like, buying a dog now, I would want to meet the mum, either out on a walk or have some kind of more information about the mum. I think people often always focus on the puppies, but a lot of the puppies get the temperaments kind of from the mum, and those in the first 8 weeks they learn a lot from their mum. So you want it to be, you know, a really good dog if you can. I would look in a house. You'd want to visit the house and make sure that, you know, they're making every conscious effort to try and make these pups part of the family, part of their lives. So like we said before, socializing them with things and people, and, you know, even with the Hoover now, Nancy is not scared of the Hoover at all. Like, it does not bother her one bit. And, you know, a lot of pups have issues with Hoovers. So it's just little things like that. It's just making sure that they're really well socialized. And yeah, I think for me, you want a breeder that isn't just doing it for the sake of breeding. They actually care about these puppies. And I think you can tell quite quickly whether a person is like that or not, just from speaking to them. And I know from my breeder, you can tell that she genuinely cared about everything and all the puppies, and she loves the updates as well. We're in contact with her still 2 years later, and meet for walks regularly. And I think that's what you kind of want. And also, if there's any other, you know, if you know any relations, so if the mum has had a litter before, what are those puppies like? Because often you can't tell if the mum's had a first litter what the puppies are going to be like, really. So if that's an option, then you can always look at what they've had previously. And also, you can't forget about the dad as well. Make sure he's, you know, a good dog. And if there's any litters that he's sired, are they all healthy? That kind of thing. We did all sorts, looking through health scores when we were on the Kennel Club website. We went to a lot of his litter to make sure they were, all the litters he'd had, to make sure they had good scores as well, the ones that had been scored. So it's just a lot of different combinations, but I feel like you can get a feel for a person and what they're going to be like as a breeder.
I think it's kind of figuring out also what their motivations are. So we can hear from, well, people listening will hear from you that you're passionate about Millie and giving the best things to her and her pups. So there's nothing that suggests to me that you've done this purely for financial gain. And I think there are a lot of breeders out there, particularly during lockdown, we saw that actually it was quite a big motivation, because actually there's so much work involved in it. Actually, it's life-changing stuff for 8 weeks. So it has to be something that you're very passionate about doing. There's going to be people listening to this that have got a dog at home and they think, actually, I've got a brilliant dog, she'd be a great mum. What advice would you give to them if they're thinking about toying with the idea of breeding their dog?
I think just because you think they're going to be a great mum, does that actually mean that they will be? And are you willing to put in the work for 8 weeks? Because it's not even 8 weeks, actually. It's 9 weeks of pregnancy. Before that, all the planning, everything you've got to do, because, you know, you can't work. You can't leave the house every day and work from an office. You know, you've got to have that flexibility. So you've got to be in the right job, really, as well. You've got to be willing to put in the work for the 8 weeks. And then also afterwards as well, are you kind of doing everything correctly? I mean, I suppose there's no right and wrong, really, but the way that I always do it is the way I would want a puppy, and, you know, the things I'd want with it in terms of worming, vaccinations, like puppy contracts, that kind of thing. You've got to think, are you prepared to do all that? And are you prepared to spend all the money that is needed? And also, you know, it could be any kind of things go wrong with the puppies and the mum. You know, they could have a C-section and that could cost thousands. So are you willing to put in that work? And, you know, the puppies might not even all survive. It's horrible to say, but it happens a lot. And there's a lot to think about and lots of things to worry about. And I worried about Millie quite a lot for the first few weeks. And I was really conscious that she was okay, because, you know, they can get a lot of issues after they've given birth. For example, mastitis, you know, a lot of issues. And you just want to make sure that they're okay, because Millie was obviously one of our main priorities, because, you know, she's our dog and nobody wants anything to happen to her. And then you kind of get that guilt as well. You feel, oh, I'll put her through this. But, you know, at the end of the day, she loved it. She was great. So, yeah, I think the biggest advice is just, are you willing to put in the work? Because it is a lot of work.
Would you say, Anna, that there is a right time or a wrong time to breed your dog?
I think, well, because of COVID, there was an influx of litters. Everybody was breeding because there was such a huge demand for puppies. But I think now that's calmed down, I think you really need to look at the market to see, are puppies selling? Because if they're not, you could potentially end up with 9 puppies. You know, if I didn't have enough buyers, I could have ended up with 9 puppies, and it would be my responsibility to keep them all. So you have to be really do your research and look to see whether there are a lot of lists out there and how quickly these puppies are going. You know, if they're still there, if they've still people have still got puppies at 8 to 10 weeks, that shows that they're not going very quickly and the market is too full. So just definitely look at that aspect as well.
And I think as well, as a buyer, when you want a puppy at 8, 9 weeks old. If you're finding a breeder that's got a puppy left at 12, 13, 14 weeks, that would actually put a lot of people off, and you might get lumbered with this beautiful puppy, but actually no one wants. And you spoke about COVID there as well. You would have thought puppies were gold plated during COVID because the price was astronomical. That's not necessarily a true reflection of today's puppy market, is it?
No, it's not. Definitely the price has come down massively. And it's very expensive to breed as well. So you just need to make sure that you've got all the costs covered and eventualities that you could have surprise costs as well.
And also you experienced something with one of the pups coming back to you. And I know in your puppy contracts, it says if you can't keep the dog or situations change, that they're to bring the dog back to you because you want to make sure that they're cared for well. So you've actually got a lifelong commitment to 9 dogs now, right?
Effectively, yes. And people don't always put that in their contract, but I feel such a responsibility to these puppies that I put in the contract that if you ever need to rehome your puppy, well, hopefully it would be a dog at that point, or you know, not at all, ideally, you would contact me first. And, you know, we had that where one of the puppies came back to us after 3 days, which was honestly so stressful and upsetting. It really kind of took me by surprise, because you do everything you can to find the best owners. And then when a pup comes back to you, you start kind of questioning everything. And obviously it was just one of those really unfortunate things. And it wasn't anything to do with the pup, just circumstances of the family that had him. He's in a much better home now, I think, for him. He's really enjoying it. We get to see lots of his updates. But for me, I wouldn't want a dog. You know, there's a lot of dogs out there, a lot of rescues in centres, and they're overcrowded. And the last thing I would want is for any dogs to end up in a rescue. I would much rather take them back, either find them a home myself or keep them. Oh, Johnny wouldn't be very impressed if we ended up with a lot of 9 dogs, but yeah, that's the idea, really. I just think I've got such a responsibility for them. I brought them into the world, so you know, I just, if anything did happen, touch wood it won't, then hopefully the owners will contact me first.
Yeah, definitely. What was your what was the best thing about breeding Millie? Just pick one thing, and it can be any part of the process. What was your kind of never forget moment?
There's two things, I think. The first one is, I remember one morning, I came down, I sat in the pen, and they all just jumped on me, and Millie came too. And I just thought, oh, this is the best thing ever. How can you be sad when you've got 9 puppies and Millie all trying to come to you? It's just the bond that they have with me and with Johnny, because we were looking after them 24/7. They had such an attachment to us by the end, and you know, they would follow me around everywhere, and just like had 9 shadows literally. That was such a amazing, really, just that they how much they loved you. And then the other moment is when you see them so happy in their new homes. You see lots of updates, you think it's all worth it, all the stress, the worry is all worth it, because the new owners are happy, and that's what you want as well. You want the kind of owners and families to be happy with their puppy, and the puppy to have the best life and kind of get everything that they want out of life. So yeah, that's for me, those two things are the biggest things.
Brilliant. And people can't see this, but you've got a smile on your face when you talk about these puppies, so I know it's going to be happy memories that live with you forever. But hindsight is also pretty good. What would you have done differently? Is there anything that kind of you look back and think, I wish I'd have done that differently, or next time I might do it in a different way?
I think the only thing I did differently was probably stress a bit less at certain times, because sometimes I felt so stressed by everything that we had to do that I was like, oh, just this is, I can't believe we've done this. Why have we done this? I questioned it quite a few times. I thought, what have we got ourselves into? And I just thought, it's easy to do that, because, you know, first time doing anything, you feel a bit like on edge and nervous. But for me, it was just relax a bit more next time, go along with the flow, obviously do everything we did this time, but just relax into it a little bit more.
Okay. Do you regret anything that you did or didn't do? Do you kind of look back and go, just shouldn't have done it?
I don't think so. No, I did. Like, we did a lot of research, a lot of preparation, probably too much to be fair, but I don't think I regret anything we did. I think I've been really happy with how everything's turned out. Obviously, it wasn't ideal, one of the puppies coming back, but I don't regret that, because I think he's in a better home now.
Yeah, I've certainly seen pictures and videos of him in his new home, and he's having a great time with his big brother, isn't he?
Yeah.
Okay, so people that have listened to this that are considering breeding their dog, what is your final kind of message that you want to leave them with? I know you're going to say that it's hard work. Is it kind of go out and do it, or is it actually think about it again, have a chat, think about it again?
I think it's definitely think about it. Speak to people that have done it. Get advice before you do it. It isn't something you just go and do, definitely. You have to do a lot of preparation. You have to be prepared for everything. And you have to be prepared for, you know, potentially things to be really sad as well. And are you going to be able to cope with that? Because things could have gone very differently for us. And, you know, thank God they didn't, but they could have. And that would have been, I don't know how I would have coped with that, to be honest. You have to be very hardy in that, those kind of situations. Be prepared for every eventuality and really think about it properly and make sure that you've got that support as well. I think that's a big thing. We had a lot of family support that could help us if we needed to go out, or, you know, if we needed to do anything. And if I went into the office, we had siblings that would come around and watch the puppies. You've not got that support network then as well. Being stuck in the house with 8 puppies is quite isolating. So as lovely as puppies are, you know, they can't talk back. So just making sure that you've thought about it and you've got everything you need.
And where can people find out a bit more about these 2 wonderful dogs that you've got? So where can they kind of go to follow Millie and Nancy?
Their Instagram is Millie Fox Red Lab, but I probably need to change that, actually, now I've got Nancy. She might feel a little left out now.
Yeah, but for now, Millie Fox Red. So there's lots of pictures of Millie and Nancy on there as well. Anna, thank you so much from me and the rest of the listeners. I do hope that you, Millie and Nancy, just continue to have the absolute best time together, and I'm sure you will. Folks that are listening, remember to give Millie and Nancy a follow on Instagram, and I'll be back in a few weeks for the next episode. Thanks for joining us. We hope that has been useful to you. But from me, all I want to finish off by saying is be caring, be consistent, and be your Labrador's best teacher. I'll catch you on the next episode.